you note-wise. I say I guarantee you, I don't really know who you are, but hey, where'd my wife go? Mr. Nate, can you do me a favor? Can you grab my Bible and iPad from the back? I forgot to grab it up before music. So we have been talking the last couple weeks about Jesus' journey. We have two stops. We have tonight, thank you. We have tonight that we're going to deal with, and then we also have next week. Next week, I know that Easter is on Sunday, and keep in mind, we do not have service Easter evening. So we have 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the morning service. I would encourage you to come and get involved in one service and then sit through the next one. I will probably be going to the 9 o'clock service and serving during the 11 o'clock service. So if you come to the 11 o'clock and don't see me sitting in there, believe me, I'm around somewhere. But either one you choose to come to, there's two identical services for you to come to, but we will not have service Sunday night. I will see you if you sign up on Tuesday for laser tag. If not, then Wednesday night, a week from today. But we've been dealing with this Jesus journey, and we are going to deal tonight, like I've said, with the crucifixion. A lot of people, when talking about this journey of Jesus, don't think about the crucifixion as a miracle, because we think of miracles as causing the blind man to see, or raising Lazarus from the dead, or healing the man's ear, a fig tree, and saying you're never going to produce fruit again and it withers. And we think of these types of things as miracles. But a lot of times when we think about the crucifixion, we don't really think about it in that type of terminology, because there's nothing miraculous about it. Like in our mind, it's just death and it's torture and it's punishment. But there's nothing miraculous in our minds about it. And I can kind of understand that thought if it wasn't for the fact that it's Jesus Christ. And Jesus could have at any point in time gotten off the cross. Like, I kind of wish in one sense he would have, because it would have been like, it would have made an epic movie. But I wish that he wouldn't in one sense do it, because it was awesome. Like, people were like, oh, show us, you're the Son of God. And he just like, woo, comes down like, oh, you know. Like, I would have enjoyed it to be there during that portion of it. But he could have gotten off the cross. But he stayed on the cross. And I want to show you a video that gives a little bit. It's not gruesome, okay? You see some things in it, but it's not gruesome. But it gives you an explanation from a doctor's perspective about what the crucifixion was like. And so they've taken different doctors' testimonies about what it would be like within true science and have put it. They found some other relics and things like that they'll talk about. But I want to watch the video. It's about 7 minutes long, and then we're going to understand it's a movie. Josephus, who is a historical theologian, wrote that he was actually whipped until his bones showed. So on his back, they would tear apart those little things. You could see what it did to cardboard after 3 hits. He would have been 39 times. And so that ripping into his back would tear off all the flesh and muscle until there was bones that were showing through. So when you see Jesus on the cross, like in that last cutscene, he's got a little dribble of blood coming down his chest. That's not what it looked like at all. And in fact, he had a full beard in there, and they ripped it out of his face. They beat him. If you've seen somebody who's been in a fight before, even as professionally, their eyes are all swollen shut and everything from the hits. All this stuff happened to Jesus. That's why Isaiah says he was unrecognizable as a son of man. Not as God, but as a son of man, as a human. He was unrecognizable because of the beating that he endured before he even went to the cross. So then what has to happen is this. The question then becomes, why did Jesus do this? Why would Jesus go to the cross for us? He even mentions it about how he could have chose to be stoned. He could have chose to be beheaded, all those different things. Now, lots of people would say prophecy, because in Isaiah it talks about no bones and those different things, and all the way through, his head wouldn't be cut off and all those different things. Excuse me. But as Jesus chose to do this for us, I think we can figure out why, based off of the 7 sayings of Christ on the cross. And I think that as we look at what Jesus said, the last 7 statements that Jesus made on the cross, I think will help us understand why Christ went through this for us. So I'm going to ask some sponsor participation in this one, all right? So Miss Brittany, if you could look up Luke 23 and verse 34. Mr. Brad, if you can do Luke 23 and verse 43. Mr. Nate, can you do John 19, 26, and 27? Mr. Dave, can you do Matthew 27 and verse 46? And then Britt, be ready with Luke 23, 46 as well, okay? But and I'll be in John 19. Yes, sir. No, we don't know, or at least I've never run into the actual person who came up with crucifixion, but I know that the Romans perfected it. So there's other forms of crucifixion, but they're the ones who figured out that in order to beat a man but not kill him during the beating, it was this many times they could hit him. They had guys that were practiced in the art of ripping flesh from bodies that would make sure they didn't hit in one spot consistently, because if you got in there and hit the kidney and then you ripped the kidney open, they could die from sepsis or something like that within minutes. So it was all practice stuff. It was gross. It was disgusting. Oh, yeah. But you think about even within recent history, some things that people have done is messed up. Yeah. No, not as extensive, but just as brutal. The thing is that the... No, yeah, he's saying he didn't do all the things that the ones that the crucifixion did.
It seems almost intentional.
But the crucifixion was also not in mass numbers. It was for criminals that were meant to be punished. It was capital punishment. So the reason they were doing it was not to get rid of a race of people like Hitler was, because if Hitler would have had his choice, I guarantee he'd have done worse things to individuals. But his idea was to get rid of a mass of people, whereas Jesus was just, in their minds, one criminal that they would... Oh, I see what you're saying. I think God in his foreknowledge knew that that would be practiced at that time, and so Isaiah says a lot of things like he'll be high and lifted up, and the idea that he'll be up off the ground on a cross and things like that. So I think that in God's foreknowledge, he knew those things would be about instead of strapped to an electric chair. Go ahead. Yeah, then let's wait until the end if it's a deeper question. Let's wait. Miss Brittany, why don't you read Luke 23 for me? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so think about this. Jesus has just been through what would be a flogging, is what they considered. That was with the cat of nine tails where they beat him. He's been smacked. He's been spit on. He's had his beard ripped out. He's had the crown of thorns, which would be 1.5 to 2-inch thorns that would be driven down into his skull plate. He's had all of these things that have happened. And then Jesus is hanging on the cross again. And I don't know if it was arced or whatever. That they're basing the through the side of the bone based off of the one find on there. So I don't know if that's what it is or not, but he's having to, and that it's widely believed it's right here where they put it, because it would crush the tendon, but it would also not rip off, because if you had all the weight, believe me, I watched so many videos, it would have all the weight on here and it would pull off if there was through the palm. So they do it a lot through here. So what? No. But so it has all through those different types of things. So Jesus is hanging on the cross and he's pushing up just to get enough air to say things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think in the midst of all of this, what Jesus is showing to us or teaching to us is he's saying, I love you. I love you. Even in the midst of you not understanding what you're doing to me, I love you in the midst of it. And so I think Christ would look at us tonight and say, you know what, you may not think that sin is as bad as it is, but I love you in spite of it. And I think Jesus fights on our behalf to the Father and says, oh man, they just messed up that once. That's it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, even when we do. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were crucifying the Son of God. But he says, I love you. Number two, Mr. Brad. Okay, so he says, I love you. Then he looks at the thief and he says, I promise you. I promise you. He looks at the thief and he says to him, listen, if you believe in me, today you will be with me in paradise. And so Jesus, on the cross again, keeping in mind all of the pain that he's enduring during all of this, will look and say, I love them enough to forgive them, even though they don't know what they're doing to me. But also, thief, that actually has done wrong, I love you enough to promise you that if you believe in me, you'll be with me today in paradise. And so Jesus looks at us. That's why we celebrate Easter, because we can tell people that Jesus loves them enough and promises them that they can find an eternity in heaven. Number three, Mr. Nate.
Okay.
Okay, so when you read this story, it's very odd, honestly. Like, Jesus is on the cross. Again, he's pushing up to get enough breath to say, "Woman, behold your son." And everybody's when I'm reading that, I'm going, why? What's the big deal about that? But here's why. Because up to that point in their culture, it was the son's responsibility to take care of the mother. And so now the son was about to perish. He was about to die. And so he looks at the disciple and says, "Listen, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And what Jesus was saying was, "I care for you. That in the midst of all that is going on, I don't just love you enough to die for you. I'm not just promising you that you can get to heaven. I care about what's going on in your life right now." And so Jesus looks at Mary and he looks at the disciple and he says, "Listen, I care enough about you to make sure that your futures are taken care of and that I will care for you no matter what else is going on in life." Number four, Mr. Dave. And with this, Jesus said, "I understand you." Have you ever felt, now don't answer out loud, because I think we've all been there, but have you ever felt like God has just forsaken you? Like no one on earth or in heaven understands where you're at or what you're going through? Because I have felt that way. And Jesus goes through this, and he's on the cross, and he pushes up, and "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," and he yells out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" For the first time in history, known and unknown, would God turn his back on his son. So you cannot say no one understands what it feels like to be alone. No one understands what it feels like to be forsaken, because God turned his back on his son, because at that moment in time, your sin and mine was placed on Jesus. And for the first time ever, Jesus understood as a human and as God total separation from that which he has known. All for you and all for me. Even though none of us deserve it at all, Jesus said, "I understand you." John 19 and verse 28, he says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst." Now again, it's one of those things just like the behold your son. I looked at it and said, does that really need to be recorded in scripture? Like, I mean, Jesus has been beaten. He's been all these different things. He's not had a drink. Like, no one would be like, I wonder if he's thirsty. You know, we'd all be like, it makes sense that he'd be thirsty. But in Jesus saying this, now there's a lot that goes into it prophetically and all that stuff. But when Jesus said this, I truly believe that he was saying to us, I am human. That he understands what it's like to be human. Because most of us have this mindset with God that we think to ourselves, he went through this as God. And God can raise his pain tolerance to where it's just like on the video where the guy's getting flogged with a cat of nine tails and he's going. Like when I first watched it, I almost didn't show the video because of that scene. Like they made it seem like Jesus just like, get it over with. You know, it wasn't like that. Jesus was human. Jesus took on humanity so that he could endure these things and pay for the sins of all humankind. So Jesus, when he's up there and he's saying, I thirst, is not saying this so that people go, oh my gosh, we never even thought about that. Should we get him a drink? He's not saying it for that reason. He is saying it so that we understand that in his humanity, he is experiencing all these things on the cross. In his humanity, he is pushing up on pierced feet while his bones and his back rub against the wood just to get enough breath to say, I thirst. So Jesus is saying to us, I am human. Number six, and verse 30, he says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He says one more thing before he leaves, but it is finished. What wonderful words. Now, not for Jesus, but for us. Because at that moment in time, it was the time between when Jesus had all of our sins placed upon him and Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, and then now saying, it is finished. And what that means is the debt is paid in full. All of Nate Schaefer's, all of Dave Anderson's, all of Brad Weeder's, all of Brittany Runkle's, all of AJ Runkle's sins were placed upon Jesus, and they were paid in full. And so Jesus said, it is finished. You can mark the bill clean. It's done. It's paid for. The thoughts that AJ would struggle with, the words that Brad would struggle with, and I'm using sponsors so nobody else gets offended, the attitude that Nate would have, the whatever that any of you would struggle with, whatever the sin may be, it's paid in full. It's done. It is settled. It is finished. And then number 7, I am God's. Luke 23 and verse 46, Miss Britt. So Jesus says, finally, I am God's. Yeah. Like, I belong to God, possession. Yeah. No, I belong to God would be the idea of it. You're good. So I belong to God. So in his final breath, Jesus says, I belong to God, and in your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. And he gives up the ghost, or he takes his last breath, or he passes away. Now, I want you to look back at your paper and see a progression. I love you, therefore I'm dying for you, so that I can keep my promise that where I am, there you may be also. But listen, I just don't want to give you a home in heaven. I want to give you life now because I care about you and what's going on in your life. Oh, wait, hold on. All right. You don't think I know what it's like to be abandoned by God. Is that what you're saying? I do because I was a human just like you. I thirsted, I felt pain so that I can understand what you're going through. But listen and listen well. It is finished. I have already paid for that bag that you continue to carry around of trash, of whatever it is, whatever sin you have behind you that you continue to carry around. I have already paid for that. You are free because it is finished. And one day, you'll be in heaven with God celebrating the work that I did on the cross for you. That's the progression of what Jesus did. So listen, Jesus sacrificed so that you could live. Not just eternally, though that's the case, because we're going to celebrate that next week with the resurrection. But Jesus sacrificed that you could live now. You could live fully. You could enjoy life, not in the sense of what the world says, but in the sense of what Jesus says, that you can enjoy what God has put in front of you tonight, tomorrow, this week, this year, because Jesus sacrificed so you could. So before you ever get this idea or this mindset that people don't understand, nobody feels this, go back and read over this paper. Go back and read these verses and understand. I wish that I was dramatic enough to say what Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I wish that I was dramatic enough to say that like what Christ would, because I want you to understand that as Jesus cried that out, he was completely forsaken. He couldn't even tap into the power of God at that point, because he at that point had God turn his back on him because he was completely paying for our sins. He was under the weight of our sins. So what does Jesus do this for? Why does he allow these things to happen to himself so that you and I can live fully, that we can enjoy life because of what he's done for us? So I want to encourage you, man, Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. And we look and say, you know what? Death could not hold our Lord. We sing songs like Forever, He is Glorified, and Because He Lives. And we sing all of these things which are great. But Friday came first. And whereas Jesus does resurrect, and whereas Jesus is alive and well, Jesus went through Friday first. So don't ever lose sight of, just because we have hope and glory and all that stuff and it's awesome, don't lose sight of what our sin did to Jesus. Because the sins we commit now, he paid for then. So live fully knowing what Jesus has done for you and the payment that he paid for you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I'm so thankful for the crucifixion. I am in awe. Lord, I know these students. I know them individually. I don't know what they all struggle with. I know myself better than anybody here. So I know what I struggle with. And in light of all the things, even in the dark recesses of my mind that I struggle with, or that I struggle not to say or to do, or an attitude to have, and all the things that go on, in the midst of all of that, you were willing to endure all those things you endured for me. That if nobody else was alive, you would have looked at me and said, I'll do it for you. Lord, the beating, the mocking, the spitting, the nastiness that you had, the humiliation that you had to endure, all for me. And I got to be honest, I don't understand why. Now, I'm grateful that you did it. And Lord, I look forward to Sunday and celebrating your resurrection and understanding now that we can live eternally because our Savior had victory over death. But Father, I don't know why you wanted me. But Lord, based off of what you've said, I know you did. But Lord, I pray that with all of us that are here tonight, myself included, that what you have done for us would not just be in the back of our mind as something that we're just, oh man, thankfully did that. But Lord, that it would spur us on to do more for you. That if somebody were to give their life in saving mine now, man, I would want to do whatever I could to show them gratitude. So Lord, would you allow us to have a youth group that would show you gratitude by the way we live our lives, by the way we interact with people, so that we can tell them that you love them, that you promise them, that you care for them, that you're human, that you were forsaken. Lord, all of these things so that they too can live fully. We love you, Father, and we need you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.